afternoon, Cape Cod and the islands. Welcome back to episode 67 of the Cape Cod Sportscast. Wesley Sykes, joined as always by the Rich McClone. Rich, give me some 67s right off the top here.
I didn't prepare for 67. I prepared for 66.
Did you?
Because it's 66.
It is 66. Well, then give me some 66.
How about Mario Lemieux?
Ah, yes.
You know, the funny thing about Mario is because he came up just in the wake of Wayne Gretzky, I don't think he's held in the type of regard that he should be, because that guy was amazing. The other 66 I have off the top of my head, Ray Nitschke.
Okay. Who is?
Hall of Fame football player. Oh my gosh, I'm like Green Bay Packers. I think he was a lineman / linebacker. I think that was the two-way time.
Okay.
When they went both ways. I think he played in the Ice Bowl, but I could be wrong there.
All right, so we're in episode 66. I was clearly possessed by some dynamic forces. I'll hold off on my 67.
There you go. That's all right.
For next week,
I'm sure there are a litany of September call-ups we could find who wore 66.
Yeah, I've really just looked at some Red Sox ones for 67. There's only one that I came up with that stuck out to me. But a lot of good linemen, as you might expect, on 67s.
Oh, I would imagine. And there's probably a couple of decent hockey players, too.
There was only one that I saw.
We'll find out next week.
We'll find out. That's a big market tease.
We'll figure that out next week.
So after a week off that was filled with rainouts and bad weather and whatnot, we are back at it this week. But before we get into the Cape Cod Baseball League, a couple things you wanted to clean up in the high school ranks here.
Oh, well, you know, we got Colin Spencer, who, those of you who remember back to the fall, you'll remember he was either your 1 or 1A on the Mashpee golf team, depending on, how he was playing as opposed to Kyle Puchel. Kyle Puchel in the summer plays baseball. Colin Spencer continues to play golf. And yesterday at the Mass Amateur Qualifier, not sure where he played yesterday, but wherever it was, he finished first overall, and he is on to Wes's favorite golf club in the state, the Country Club in Brookline, Massachusetts.
Just very pretentious, much like the golf club at Cape Cod. We were talking about this before we started recording, but
I guess it would be like calling, your baseball field the ballpark.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if any golf course should be called the Country Club, it should probably be in Scotland.
And I'm sure there probably is one.
Right, and there's got to be some naming rights.
You know what's funny, though? If you named your ice arena The Rink, I don't think anyone would bat an eyelash. That would just,
Yeah, maybe that's more of how people viewed the two sports.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Definitely a little more snooty factor with the old golf game.
As it is, yes.
But, hey, and you got to play a round of golf this week.
Yeah, you should try to get out once every week or so. I played pretty well. Probably one of my better rounds I've played in the last few years. Shot a 94. Just missed a long putt for a 93. That hit the pin, left the pin in. Those are new rules in golf. You don't have to take the pin out.
It's just like cards. You always remember the bad beats.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of good shots that I remember, too.
That's cool.
It's more of a self-deprecating type of thing. It's like no one wants to hear about, I hit this 225-yard tee shot that
was breaking left. What was your best shot of the day?
It was that one. So it was, I want to say, it was somewhere on the back nine, maybe.
You played a Falmouth
13
Country Club.
12, yeah, the Osprey course, the 18-hole Osprey course there. And it is maybe 280 yards, maybe right around 300-yard dog leg left. So it's, you can't really cut the corner. There's a lot of high trees there, but I'm a lefty. So with my natural fade, it went probably 260 yards with a 5-wood that kind of just on a roll, in the final roll.
Nice.
Right in front of a huge sand trap that's protecting the green. Chip on, 2-putt, par. Beautiful thing.
Just like you write it up. That's beautiful.
Then, I mean, as long as we're talking about it here, I also had on a par 5, 488, which I think was hole 14. Second shot, 5-wood off the fairway, 225 yards out, reached the green in 2.
There you go.
three putt for par. I was on the fringe, on the back end of the fringe. The pin was more on
Wes
the front,
is a lot so I had like, a long. Wes is a lot like the Dalai Lama. He hits it long.
I'm not sure if I understand that reference.
Come on, Caddyshack?
Sure, okay.
Come on.
I don't know. I don't watch that movie enough to like remember it religiously.
Oh, man, sometimes I forget how young you are.
Yeah, well, you know, that could be a good thing.
Big hit of the long. What is it? Big hit of the llama.
Yeah.
Long.
Okay. All right. We'll go.
Bill Murray's greatest line ever. All right. So, yeah, that was Colin had a big week there. I know the 7-on-7 passing league got going. You saw a little of that yesterday. Nothing really stood out, but they're out there playing some football, right?
Yeah, they're out there playing football. It's not that nothing stood out. I was just wasn't really there to take notes. I know last year I was doing kind of like a weekly notebook sort of thing. But with time constraints and weather kind of dictating where you have to go, I had three places to be in a matter of an hour.
Oh, so I know what you mean, man.
It was kind of stop and go sort of thing. So, I mean, listen, there was good plays going around. You know, a couple new quarterbacks, it looks like it might be in Upper Cape and Bourne. And Upper Cape, you know, I think is still going to be a team to watch. They're going to have, you know, a big X on their back.
They have a lot of kids returning, right?
Yeah, so they're losing some, you know, key leaders. Wally Alden comes to mind there. But obviously, Jazari Salim, Cameron Glover coming back in the backfield. And you have Andrew Brightman. John Brightman looked like he played played a little quarterback, but he also emerged as a pretty decent receiver who's his younger brother. And also, he was a real stud on the Sandwich Bulldogs Pop Warner team last year as an eighth grader. So he's going to be a rising
freshman
at Sandwich, is Timothy Bengston. And you just absolutely dominated on, a team that went undefeated or had one loss in the
nice.
Championship game for the Pop Warner Sandwich Bulldogs. So he was under center early and often for the Blue Knights. Those three teams were there, plus two Barnstable teams and Nauset. Now, I believe there's some that are playing in Monomoy. And another one maybe in Mashpee?
Last night, that sounds right.
I think a middle school in Mashpee.
Quashnet.
Yeah.
Quashnet school. And you had mentioned rain, and that's probably a good segue over to the Cape Cod Baseball League, huh?
Well, you know, hold the phone. We will get there, absolutely. Did you want to mention anything about Post 188?
Oh,
you had that this week.
Yeah, Post 188. Well, man, I tell you what, you could start with the juniors, you could start with the senior team. It doesn't matter. All that team is doing on both ends is win. The varsity team, I guess we'll call them that, the big guys.
The senior team,
they went up to 6-0 on the season last night for head coach Brian Tomasini. 4-0 win, I believe that was against, I want to say Hanover, but Hanover Hingham was one of the H's. They are just getting it done. Their offense is good.
It was Kingston 387, a 4-0 win.
Okay.
With some great pitching from Nicky Hyer and Joe Dorman.
So
Whitaker and Mike Pettit led the offense with two hits each.
Yeah, I mean, that team is just killing it there offensively. And then, you know, the junior team, gosh, they last week when they were only 6-0, they were averaging over 11 runs per game. They just put up a 16-1 victory on Friday. They've had been real. Their issue has been the weather. They haven't played since Saturday, but they're now 8-0 overall. They are killing it. Willie Baker having a heck of a season hitting the ball for them. Max McDonald, up and down the lineup. Nico Gagnon has been doing a nice job both on the hill and in the field and at the plate. And Johnny Nunes, it seems like, go two or three hits every single game.
Any relation to, is it Trevor Nunes?
You know, I have to figure that out. I'm not sure which Nunes family he is from.
Okay.
He, as far as I know, not a Falmouth kid.
Okay.
And I meant to ask you if he was one of yours, or maybe he's a summer guy, but, you know, could be one of those who, like, comes down.
Sure.
We've seen that in the past, but that 188 junior team is undefeated and just killing it right now. And we say it all the time, and it bears out during the regular season. Upper Cape baseball, you know, from Sandwich to Falmouth to Bourne, Mashpee, we have got ball players left and right. And when you bring the best of the best of those groups together, you know, all good things.
And one last thing before we go over to the Cape Cod Baseball League. You have more book news.
Oh, yeah.
On one season on the Brink Watch here.
Oh, yeah. Well, the book is out. Okay. You can get it online right now on any format you like. We've got Kindle. We've got paperback. We've got hardcover. It will be in bookstores soon. I'm waiting for author copies, which you would think, you know, you're buying from Amazon. Typically, you buy something from Amazon, you click the link, and you have
shipping
with a day or two, right? But when you buy 70 copies of something,
sure,
it takes a little longer because I got to print them all. So we'll be in bookstores soon. But you know, the real big news, I guess, is Tuesday, July 2nd. That is a couple days from now. Having a signing slash launch party over at Pier 37 Boathouse here in Falmouth. All are welcome to attend. You know, come on by, say hi. If you want to buy a book, buy a book. I will sign it for you if you want. But it's just kind of a nice, you know, celebration of, you know, get together with some friends and some family. And you
know. What is the bar situation there? I'm going to ask the question that's on everyone's mind.
The bar, it's not an open bar because I ain't paying for that.
Okay. All right. That was my question.
But it is, you know, they have a great restaurant. You know, come on down, have some dinner. Good way to spend a Tuesday night, you know,
sure.
4th of July week. You know, maybe you're taking off the 3rd, you know, start your weekend.
And the timing is what, 5 to 7?
6 to 8.
6 to 8. Okay.
6 to 8.
Before the crowd gets, you know, can get rowdy and college-aged.
Well, you know, I was talking to the manager there, and he said, you know, for the most part, that's mostly weekends there now.
Yeah.
They've tried to class the place up, because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I said I was going to have it at the Boathouse, and he's like, is that going to get a little sloppy? I said, it's not like when we were kids, you know.
I've been there quite a few times in the summertime over the last few years, and
sure.
You definitely get a stamp on your hand.
Yes.
You know, they're checking IDs. There's bouncers and security there.
I think it's more, I think before that happens, we'll probably have cleared
right,
up.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
We're during the family-friendly hours.
So sure.
The PG hours, I guess.
And the reason why I ask about the bar situation, this has come up a lot in conversation as we're preparing for weddings and going to weddings. And now is kind of the age where I'm at, where a lot of my friends are getting married and sort of thing.
And you are as well.
And I just... Julia, my fiance, thinks this is tacky. I've talked to a few other people. They find it to be a little cheesy as well. But I think it should be outlined, whether it's on your wedding page or your invitation, RSVP sort of thing, what the bar situation is. I may have outlined this last year where I was at a wedding that was an open bar for a short period of time and then cash only.
Oh,
not only was it cash only, but no ATM there.
Oh, see, there you... That's rough.
So, you know, I had $20 on me that I was expecting to leave down as the introductory tip, so I didn't have to worry about it. And then they remember you at that point.
Sure.
You leave the Andrew Jackson down, and then, you know, you get whatever you want for pretty much the rest of the night. But it's frustrating. So then I'm, like, nursing my Bud Lights all night long. And trying to do the math in my head, well, how much do I have to do? Okay. And then I pretty much at that point, out of frustration, did not tip the bartenders at that because I felt like that was not outlined enough for
me. Well, hey, you were trying to maximize that 20 spot.
Right, exactly.
You know, so, but your problem was, were the beers like $5.50?
I don't think so. I think there were flat rates. This was last year now. So now, you know, you're really pressing my mind.
No, I'm just saying, because if it's $5.50,
right.
then you basically, with that $20 bill, you either you've lost a drink, or you're going to go around your table mates and say, hey, can I borrow a dollar? Hey,
yeah, can I take that change that you got back?
Yeah, exactly.
And try to, like, piece together.
You mind floating me a fiver here, buddy?
Right, exactly.
So,
but I think it should be outlined on there so you can properly, prepare yourself.
Well, I am on a shoestring budget, a very thin.
Well, no, listen, I'm not passing any judgment or anything. Like, where, you know, the issue where Julie and I were having. She thinks it's like, you know, a judgy thing, and I just want to know.
Yeah,
I don't care when we're
the
other.
You know,
I just want to be prepared.
And here's the thing too, like my party, totally open party. If people want to come. It's like the one I had when I was 17 and my mom and dad were out of town.
Sure.
If you want to come, come on down, come say hi. You know, no cover charge, but you're buying your own beer.
That can be, that can get out of hand pretty quickly.
And
though.
It did.
Yes.
So, but this one, hopefully, this right. people, this could be more
different
of a
crowd.
Mature audience. So,
right.
You know, it'll be fun. You know, the book is moving. Things have been going really well. It's been a fun week for me.
And if you'd like to see a little bit of a backstory before picking up your copy, go pick up the... Will it be in all four papers, or has it just been Falmouth Enterprise?
All four entertainment sections. I should be on page one, wherever that appears in your paper. I know Falmouth and Mashpee, that is the A section. 1A, I'm not sure where it is in the Born and Sandwich, but it will be in the Born and Sandwich entertainment sections as well. And it is online... Yeah, it's online right now, and you can go to either one of our Twitter feeds, because I saw that, I think you retweeted it, and it's off of mine. So if you want to read a little bit of the history behind how this came together.
Yeah, which I think is interesting as well, just to kind of get into the thought process of it and give you a little bit of backstory of who you are. I'm sure everyone in Falmouth and probably everyone in the Upper Cape knows who you are and everything after, 21 years on the job here?
Actually coming up on 22 at the end of July, I think.
Now, do they get you, what is that, like a gold watch or... 22 years in the business?
I don't know.
Is that in the budget?
Something tells me, there might be a pizza day, I get an extra slice.
Right, okay. Well, so, yeah, you got to really elbow out for those.
It was nice on Monday, though, to walk in and see it was pizza day, and who knew?
I walked in on Tuesday, saw the empty boxes, and said, well, Monday would have been a good day to come into the office.
Well, you were shooting a 94.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that was later on in the afternoon. So, I was shooting another golf course on Monday morning.
Oh, that's right. Oh, so that's, you know what? I mean, I know we're circling back to golf, but
sure.
Talking about stuff in the paper, Wes has broken a new feature that we'll start this week and run through the summer.
Yeah.
The Hole of the Week.
Hole of the Week, kind of a nice spinoff of, Athlete of the Week. After that dies down when school year ends, I got a drone for Christmas that I've been kind of thinking about how to incorporate in the work world here. And I thought that would be a great idea. You know, you just go and feature some of the best, signature holes from the local golf courses. Probably going to be public courses starting out, especially with the once a week per summer, in the summer months, you probably have 8 to 10 weeks or so. So I think that will help, give some nice filler, get some nice 1080p shots of, some of the favorite holes across Cape Cod. So
yeah, I love the multimedia too. He's got video that's on our website.
Yeah.
Along with the photos that are going to be on the in the print editions.
And then you get a voiceover. This week was Brookside Golf Club in 11 Brigadoon Lane off MacArthur's Boulevard in Bourne. And then you have a voiceover of the PGA professional there, Chris Gagnon, who kind of gives you a layout of the hole and kind of how to approach it.
Sure.
It's a 379 par 4 first hole. Nice views of Buzzards Bay. You got a nice water hazard there. Elevated tees. You want to stay to the left, that sort of thing. But all that's outlined. That is currently on capenews.net right now, and I'll be sharing it at a peak time, later today, which is Thursday.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea. Without giving too much away, maybe we're heading towards the home base of Falmouth next week?
Well, that depends. I still got to send out, that's part of, that's on my docket today to out a couple courses to see.
TBA.
Yes, so might be Sandwich, might be Falmouth, but those are definitely on my radar there. Now, speaking of radar, some Doppler, different type of things here. The Cape Cod Baseball League has been pretty much washed out to this point.
Every other day, there was one stretch where we had 4 or 5 days straight of rainouts.
Yeah, I know there was, as it pertained to Bourne, 4 straight days of rainouts from Saturday to Wednesday to Saturday, I think that's 4 days.
That sounds right, yeah.
And it's been tough because, I'll have a story later this week in the Bourne Enterprise kind of outlining how the Bourne team has dealt with the rain.
Sure.
And got some nice quotes from Eric Zamuda, who is, I believe, the first-year commissioner in his as the Cape League commissioner.
Former GM in Falmouth.
Yeah, and, Darren Weeks, who's the current GM in Bourne, as well as Ben Rabinovich, who is the Upper Cape Athletic Director, who, of course, is responsible with the field at Durham Park all 3 of the 4 seasons. So I think it's interesting, and most of it kind of is boiled down to the infield surface. So it's a red clay material. When dry, it is regarded as like one of the best materials you can play on an infield.
Sure.
The problem is that when it is rainy and not warm like it has been, You could have rain overnight or rain in the morning. Of course, there's no tarps unless it's the pitcher's mound or the home plate circle. They don't have the Fenway Park infield tarps, which again they would like to have, but then there's an issue of storage and having the people to pull it out when it's necessary.
You got to know what you're doing there, because
there's a lot of logistics.
The big cylinder that they carry it, they store it on, and
of course money, which comes down to money for a nonprofit organization. That's always of concern there. But essentially, it says you could have rain overnight or in the morning. And then if you have a 6 o'clock game time, like most of the Braves games are with the lights there, you need hot, warm sun to dry it out. And what the case has been throughout these, since June 10th, essentially when the season opened up, is that you'll have overcast or it's partly cloudy, high 60s, not enough to dry it out. So what you
it's
get,
been dank.
Yeah, you get these soft surface, kind of spongy. I believe they can use a product in spots called Turfus, which will kind of dry up and soak up everything, but you can't use it across the field. It's kind of spot use.
I remember back in the day, it used to be kitty litter.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's essentially what it is. When I was working at Fenway as a janitor, for lack of a better term, sanitation engineer, we would use that for people who would consume too much.
Like Finn from Star Wars.
Right, and it just dries, it turns liquids into solids, essentially.
There you go, yeah.
So it's kind of along those lines, and that's what makes it tough. And then when I was talking to Eric Zamuda, we had a nice conversation, but he had said this was as of Tuesday, another day it was completely rained out across the Cape League. There had been 29 postponements.
Oh, 29.
29 as of that. Because there was a double header that day.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, a game at 2 and then later one at 6 there. And that was, as of Wednesday, June 26th. So in the first 16 days, there's been, 29 postponements.
And what was it? They plan, you told me he had a number that they plan to have that they kind of work into their schedule.
Right. So they have, obviously they play 44 games at a 51-day schedule. And this now is what they're planning for. Is there's extreme contingency plans of, at the worst case scenario, of extending the playoffs, which again you run into an issue because kids have to be back in certain school, and I know Southern schools go back a little bit earlier than some of the schools in the Northeast, or varies around the different parts of the country, I think that's what they did in the 2009 season when there was a league high. This was passed over from Paul Gallup, the former commissioner of the Cape Cod Baseball League, kind of handed off all the stats and everything to Eric when they passed the torch there. 66 rainouts in a 2009 season.
Wow.
But
we're already halfway there.
Right, exactly. So that's a little bit of a concern. Obviously, doubleheaders get increased. I think they usually do a Sunday doubleheaders a couple times, in the early parts of the season. But now you have those scheduled off days, which are, I feel like, usually are Mondays or Thursdays.
Mondays
like
or
today.
Thursdays, yeah.
Today, I think they have Scout Day up at Fenway. But you take those off days, and now suddenly you have backloading all these schedules to kind of all these games against one another.
And that becomes even more problematic because as we go deeper into the season, you got teams who find out that, their star pitcher is getting shut down or
right.
a kid has to leave early to go back to school. And then you're going to have to start plucking kids from NECBL teams and the Futures League. Mm-hmm. And, the team that you're playing through the heart of your season is not necessarily the team you're going into the playoffs with.
Right.
So it's just, there's not a perfect answer to this because there are so many moving parts when you have a Cape League season.
And it's unpredictable. You can't say, okay, well, we're at 29 postponements right now. Who's to say you're not going to get another week's worth of washed out games?
Yeah, I mean, we could
imagine.
We could not see another drop of rain for, 2 months, or this could continue.
Right.
You never know. I mean, we were talking about it. Like, over this winter, you kind of build into your schedule that there's going to be snowouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we had any this year, maybe one.
Not enough where it would come to mind.
But then we got into the spring, And there was a lot of games baseball wise early in April that ended up at, you know, at the end of the May schedule because of the weather. You just never know, because you cannot predict the weather as hard as they try. You know, more than a couple of days out, you don't know.
And just to kind of show, to kind of prove that, obviously we don't have to prove that weather is unpredictable, but just to have some numbers to back that up, as we mentioned, in 2009, the 66 league high postponements. A few years after that, they had a league low 8.
Yep, dry season. You know, right. That's, you know, back and forth. Who
and
knows?
When I talked to Darren Weeks on the phone, you know, he's like, I was looking at my Facebook memories a couple days ago, and on one of the days that we had a rainout this time last year, it was 90 degrees. And I remember posting something about it being 90 degrees out. And we haven't had a 90-degree day yet.
We've barely had any 80.
Right. And so, I think yesterday was one of those days. Yeah. Beautiful day for baseball.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
So we got all those games in there. And just to kind of give a quick rundown of that, right now you have teams with obviously varying games played. It's not actually, you know, exactly an even number. But you have your Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox, I would say no surprise, currently leading the Cape League right now. With a record of 7-4-1. They have 15 points, which is tied for the West Division leading Wareham Gateman. We're 7-5-1. Of course, losses don't count for anything, so if you have the same amount of wins,
sure,
that doesn't necessarily matter.
Yeah, the Gatemen have just played one more game.
Right, exactly.
And Falmouth, I think, has only played 10 games. Now they're 4-5-1, I believe.
4-5-1 with 9 points, currently holding the fourth spot.
Yeah.
That is just behind the Bourne Braves, who won last night 4-1 over Chatham at Doran Park, with a record of 5-6, with a total of 10 points. The Kootuat Kettleers entered Wednesday, tied in first place with the Gatemen. Unfortunately, tied the Orleans Firebirds 3-3 in a game that was ended due to darkness. Which, so, you get, you know, on top of these rainouts, you also have the fog delays that usually happen down around the elbow.
They were playing Orleans, and it got don't they have lights in Orleans?
No. They do have lights in Orleans. They don't have lights in Lowell Park.
Oh, I was, oh, sorry, I was, you said the Kettleers, I thought you meant the Braves. I was trying to figure out where the lights were.
Yes, that's when the hosts aren't listening right
now. No, I just, a lot of, we got a lot of teams that we
just
threw out
there. The Orleans Firebirds are in second in the East Division with a 6-4-2 record, the same point total as the Kootuat Kettleers at 14. And currently, I would say the hottest team right now in the Cape League are either the Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox with a 6-3-1 record, or your Brewster Whitecaps, who have a 6-6-1 record, but have gone 6-3-1 in their last 10 games.
So isn't that one of the ballparks you said you haven't been to yet?
Brewster. I've not been out there.
Stony Brook?
Yeah.
You're not missing too much.
That's just the last one. You know, it's the bucket list sort of thing. I got to get out there at one point this year.
What, and your favorite is Lowell Park?
I love Lowell. I really love Chatham, just because of the lore of the fog.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw, you know, talk about Cape League lore. Remember Andrew Miller pitched for the Red Sox?
Sure.
So Miller was, you know, big stud, you know, starting pitcher back then, and he was pitching for the Chatham A's. He took a no-hitter into the fifth inning, two outs away, and that fog just got super, super thick. I think in the, if I remember correctly, it was 11 strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
Of the outs he recorded. So what was that, 11 out of 14 outs were strikeouts. And had the no-hitter going. And this was against Jacoby Ellsbury. I think it was the 03 Falmouth team. Might have been 01. It was that general area. And the fog got so thick that they, you know, the umpires called, you know, timeout and said, hey, guys, we have to, you know, we have to call it here. You know, Schiffner is losing his mind. He's like, we're one out away from this being a complete game. And like,
right.
And he said, it's just not safe. So the Falmouth guys are trying to sell it. Ellsbury and his boys go out, you know, to the outfield, and they've got somebody hitting fungos. And as soon as the ball goes into the fog, they're like, oh, I can't see it. They're covering up. Little gamesmanship. So, long story short, Miller throws a no-hitter that doesn't count because the game didn't, they never were able to get that game in. One of the most dominant pitching performances I've ever seen, and there's no record of it anywhere.
But, you know, and that's a tough look for Andrew Miller. On the flip side, he could have gave up a hitter in the very next at bat.
He could have. But
because of said fog.
Yeah, that is true. Oh, you know, I never really thought about that because if someone just put one in the air.
So now you're looking at like, well, you have this lore of a no-hitter that wasn't never meant to be, which is a better story than him giving up a hit with two outs in the fifth
inning. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though, the way he was throwing that night.
Oh, no, I'm sure.
I don't know if anyone was putting the bat on the ball.
Absolutely.
That's one of my favorite Cape League stories. You know, just, and it just is so Cape League, because if you've ever been to Chatham,
right,
you know, there is a better than 50% chance that you're going to see some fog.
Yeah.
Because it really comes in and it gets thick.
I love it. That's good stuff right there. Also noteworthy in the Cape League, before we get to our second annual all Cape League name draft, is Noah Holland, Sandwich alum, Anna Maria College. I think he's a catcher, first baseman, outfielder.
Sure.
Can do pretty much anything. Pretty much he rakes. That's what he does. I was signed on with the
Commodores.
Your Falmouth Commodores.
Yeah. I did not see if he got into last night's game. I left after 7 innings last night. The Commodores were getting roughed up pretty bad. But entering yesterday, I don't believe he had an official at bat yet. But he is on the roster. We'll see how long. I don't know if they're still waiting for someone to come in. But good for Noah. I mean, that's awesome. And that's a dream come true.
A Division III guy coming in. You know, local kid. Like I said, he's did nothing but rake all his whole time with the Sandwich Blue Knights. He's played well at Anna Maria College. He's come back to play post-188 baseball for 2 years, raked there as well. 11 games with Bourne Mariners, which is the Cranberry League.
Okay. I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, yeah. Something actually just came to my attention when someone was raising some funds for, you know, equipment and stuff in the program. Tyler Rondo, former Bourne Canalman, is on that team.
Good kid.
Jason Schell, who was also on 188.
Yeah.
You know, Noah's teammate at Anna Maria is also on that team. A few other kids. There's a Cushnet team. I want to say there's a Carver team.
All right.
Maybe
a Woodbat League, I believe.
It could be. I haven't got a chance to go out and see anything. So they're actually getting close to the end of their regular season now.
Wow.
They play their games at Hendy Field over at Mass Maritime.
Oh.
Again, another great place to go watch a game.
That is a great place to watch.
Maybe the best Cape, you know, field on Cape Cod.
You know, the Wareham Gateman, I know they play in Wareham. But they'd be, I mean, that is such a better place to play baseball.
Well, and I wonder if the Braves, like, obviously, the Braves and the relationship with Upper Cape Tech happened, so they got that new field, which, you know, they used to play, you know, behind, you know, Bourne High or in front of Bourne High, depending on
Cody
how you look at it, Cody Field there.
Oh,
but I would have to imagine the Braves, if they had their choice, would want to go to Mass Maritime.
Oh, it's, I mean, just an awesome setting for, and a great field. They have the turf there if you've never been there. It's, you know, so beautiful the way they've laid out, and it's right on the bed, you know, what do
Buttermilk,
you call it?
Buttermilk Bay.
Buttermilk Bay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just such a nice, pretty view. And if,
it's right there. You got a huge wind turbine there, you know, and
which
you
is
just have the
noisy
wind coming. Well, it doesn't run during games.
Yeah.
They shut that off. For obvious reasons.
All right, there you go.
You get you get enough wind coming in off the bay from the third baseline as it is.
I was going to say, it is a windy, windy spot. But on the rare day where it's not blowing over there, there's not a better place in the world to watch a baseball game.
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. And then, obviously, with the you know, rebirth of Buzzards Bay that's going on right now.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff going on. It would be right on the main street, which I think is part of the lore of the Chatham Field, Gov Fuller Field.
Sure.
You know, you're right in the center of town there.
Yeah, don't try to go to Fuller Field right now, though.
Oh, yeah. I know. I was going by there, and I was
surprised.
The parking
situation is not good.
Okay, so we got roughly 30 minutes to get this done here. So
let's give me the rules. How many guys are we taking?
Okay, so we got one catcher, one of each infield position players.
Okay, I'm good with that.
Three outfielders.
Okay.
A designated hitter.
Sure.
And we'll say three pitchers.
Three pitchers, beautiful. I've got about 20
good?
Written down. So.
Okay, we go age before beauty here. So, Rich, I will hand it off to you.
All right, so I'm going to just go right out of the gate, and I am going to take the funniest name on the board.
Oh, boy.
All right, so my first round pick is going to be a pitcher.
All right.
He is from Nevada.
Oh.
And also the Orleans Firebirds.
Yes, I had this name on here. This is a tough name.
And his name is Owen Schartz.
That is something else. That's a tough name to grow up with. But I got to imagine in your college years, you grow into it.
I would think so, but
because when you see the name on most, stat sites or online rosters, it's O'Sharts.
Yep, it is.
Right. And just as a quick background, these names aren't always just odd, funny names. They're just could be names that roll off the tongue well if you're a play-by-play broadcaster.
Sure.
You know, classic kind of baseball names that you would kind of see. I'm a big fan of alliteration.
Yeah.
So I think those are kind of in play there. But I think the key is we have to try our best to get the pronunciations right. So there's a couple on there that I've written down that, you know, I got to struggle with. I think that should be the one kind of qualifier on there. If you can't pronounce it, then I'm not sure if it's qualifiable. Does that sound fair?
How about if one of us can't pronounce it? If one of us can pronounce it, it's okay.
Well, if you're drafting it, you have to know how to say it.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
I think that's got to be the one stipulation.
Pronunciation is something I'm actually rather good at.
Okay,
because I do some play by play. So
you have Owen Schartz off the board here. Okay, I'll cross him off.
I'm going to ask you a favor. Do you have an extra pen?
We can share this one.
All right, thank you. All right. Because I just want to make sure that...
Coming in late, you know, no pen.
I have five miles
away from here.
All right, let's go.
Okay, so I am going... Owen Schartz is a fantastic choice.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with an outfielder, my first round pick.
Okay.
He is from the Chatham Anglers and plays at San Joaquin Delta College.
Oh, I don't even know if I had this one.
His name is Vincenzo Belloni.
I don't know how I missed that one, but that is awesome.
Vincenzo Belloni is an outfielder for the Chatham Anglers. San Joaquin Delta College. I think that is got to be a junior college of sorts.
Yep.
But again, just an all-time Italian name, if you ask me. It, you know, it's Bologna. So maybe if we're going with old country land, that's how you pronounce it. But... it's also how you spell baloney, too. So that's how I'm going with the interpretation of Vincenzo Belloni. So I have my first outfielder taken. I feel pretty good. One of my three outfield spots.
All right. So I'm going to keep the Italian vibe going here. Mm-hmm. And this is one that I know you are going to absolutely love.
Okay.
He was just recently signed. I think it was yesterday. Or the day before, by your born Braves.
Lovely.
He is from Louisiana State University. You've heard of it.
Of course.
Giovanni DiGiacomo.
DiGiacomo. There was another DiGiacomo. No, I'm thinking of a sandwich lacrosse player. Never mind.
Giovanni DiGiacomo.
I like that.
It rolls off the tongue. It'd be a fun name to say.
Right. A lot of those Italian names, you know, if you have the first and the last name ending with the same vowel.
Yep.
You know, it just kind of flows very nice.
Yeah. I love anything that's got that, you know, D, small I, capital letter. It just, you know, it just is awesome.
Those romance languages.
Yeah. Gio DiGiacomo.
Yeah, that's I love
something
that.
Something tells me he does all right with the ladies.
Now, what position is he?
He is an outfielder as well.
Okay, so you got an outfielder and a pitcher.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm looking down my list here. This one I'm going to get out of the way because I feel like second base is very weak.
Okay.
I don't think this is necessarily, a peak name worthy of the second round pick, but I want to make sure that I have my bases covered here.
Okay.
You know, sometimes that's a strategy in drafts. You know, get the guy that's at the weakest position high up because you know other positions are loaded, right? A second baseman from UConn, plays on the Bourne Braves, also has a twin brother, I believe, plays for Orleans or Chatham. Kyler Fedko.
Fedko?
Not necessarily the strongest of names. But I like the Fedco. I love the name Kyler. I feel like Kyler is a real baseball name. Of course, it's a little bit of a football name if you follow the NFL draft. But Kyler Fedco.
Well, Kyler Murray also played baseball.
Yeah, baseball.
Yeah.
NFL draft.
There you go. Who did he play for? Chatham? No.
I forget where he played.
But he definitely played in the
Harwich. Game. Harwich.
Yeah, so that's right. Okay. You know, as much as second base was weak, and I agree with that, although I didn't write down Fedco, I did have only two names. Mm-hmm. But first base was really a tough position for me.
Yep.
And I only had one name that I wrote down. And so I'm going to go now just to make sure I have him.
Yeah.
He's from your Kootenai Kettleers.
Okay.
And he's a Duke University Blue Devil.
Oh.
Joey Loperfido.
Joey Loperfido. I saw him. I saw that name on there. I'm not sure if I had him down as a DH. No, I did not have him as a DH. I left him off the list. But again, that was one of those names that rolls off the tongue as well. Yeah. Joey Loperfido. Where is he from again? Kituit, but where is his college?
Joey Loperfido was from Duke University.
Duke University, yeah. So I have another Duke player down, a little bit different on my list here. Also an infielder, but with first base taken, there is an option that I had. Spencer Torkelson was on last year's list, no doubt. Yeah,
absolutely.
Obviously, he's a stud. Was a huge difference maker for the Chatham Anglers when he came back from Team USA last year. And immediately has made an impact, but I'm not going him. He's not going to be a two-time All-Cape League name member. I'm going with another born Brave at first base. He is from Stanford, and it's Nick Bruiser. Of course, last year I believe I had Spencer Brickhouse as a first baseman from Bourne.
Who was also Bourne, yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be following up with another first baseman from Bourne, Nick Bruiser. If you want a power-hitting corner infielder, that is the name to have here.
That is good. That is very good.
Okay, so I got Nick Bruiser so far. I got Kyler Fedko. Those are my first and second baseman, respectively. And the man in the outfield is Vincenzo Bologna. That's where we're at right now.
I don't know why, but that's just...
That was a late find, too. I think I had to cross out a name to make sure I got that on there.
All right. So, shortstop, another position where it wasn't that deep.
Right.
In terms of great names. And I'm going to go to Bourne, because I really just like the way this name sounds.
Sure.
And he is from Arizona State, which, by the way,
mm-hmm.
Arizona State, definitely the name capital of the world.
It's got a lot of good names there.
It is crazy mm-hmm. how many great names from Arizona State. Aliko Williams.
Of course, second-year player.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he was on the list last year, but he's got a real baby face. I've seen him around a couple times. He looks like an intern. And he's got a real slender athletic build.
Yeah.
So, he doesn't necessarily, obviously playing a shortstop, you kind of have to be, able to move a little bit agile. Sure. So I think that fits the position well.
Playability, baby.
Right. But so I happened to see him at Brookside when I was finishing up, doing the drone work there. They were having their tournament in the afternoon ahead of a 6 or 6:30 game. And he was just walking around in, a Braves polo.
Sure.
And I thought he was an intern. Then I was like, I saw him at the game last night. I'm like, that's how I recognize that name.
Yeah, I just ran into a Commodore who is very recognizable at Walmart the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just passing through, and I'm like, oh, hey, Hayden.
Yeah.
But,
Oh, is that Hayden Pentelli, the reigning Coca-Cola player of the week?
Hayden Cantrell.
Cantrell.
Yes.
Yes,
that's who, exactly.
Pentel, Cantrell.
Yeah, you were close.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So, I have four. I have Owen Schartz, Joey Loperfido, Aliko Williams, and Giovanni DiGiacomo. So...
Owen Schartz has to be the leader in the clubhouse.
Well, that's why he went number one overall, man.
That's the... okay, so this name, I'm surprised he's lasted this long. Kituit has a ton of good names.
Their whole outfield.
So, I'm going back over to the Kituit Cataliers. Of course, he's a Xavier member of the Xavier Musketeers. Just an all-time name. Great athlete.
Oh, I know where you're going.
Aubrey Major.
Yeah, that is a...
So now we got an outfield consisting of Vincenzo Bologna and Aubrey Major. So kind of on opposite ends there.
Yeah, Aubrey Major. I mean, I think he might have been the name... First one, from day one, you're looking through box scores.
Oh, sure.
And I think he was the one that made me think, oh, we have to do the all-name team again.
Right.
So, and why is it with the Cape League there are so many great names?
I think it's a prerequisite. Your five tools that you bring to the table.
The sixth tool is the name.
Let me see your birth certificate.
Absolutely. All right, you know what? Third base... It's really a shame that this kid does not play in Chatham. He is from Stetson University,
mm-hmm.
plays third base, and his name is Eric Fago.
Oh, yeah. That two makes G's, sense, yeah.
Two G's, but he is in the, the East Division. Eric Fago. I just like that name.
And he's a third baseman for you.
He is the third baseman.
Okay. Another another position that I had a tough time deciding on. Now, I haven't gone pitcher yet. I got a whole bunch of pitchers I can choose from.
Oh, pitchers, you go all day.
And with only three spots, you could really pick or choose. You know, really loaded here. But I'm going with catcher, going over the bridge to the Wareham Gateman, where he plays, you know, mans the backstop for the UCF Knights.
Yep.
Dallas Beaver. And I think Dallas itself is in and of itself just a strong baseball name. Of course, I come to think of Dallas Braden, who threw a perfect game on Mother's Day for the Oakland Athletics and is now, I think he's on Barstool Sports, but he also was in Baseball Tonight for a while, yep. ESPN. So he's now he's a good analyst guy. And then, of course, Beaver, kind of an interesting name. You can take that in a couple different directions, sure. If you will.
Furry little animal.
Exactly. And I think Dallas Beaver patrolling home plate for me. We'll pay off dividends in the long run.
And you know what's great is Wareham. You could have gone the other way too, because they have two catchers with great names.
Oh, so who was the other one?
I'm not going to take this guy, but
okay.
Cameron with a K.
Mm-hmm.
Guangarina.
Guangarina. Okay. I think I stayed away from that here
because you couldn't pronounce it.
I couldn't pronounce it. Yeah.
Guangarina is from Colorado State, and he is the other catcher for the Wareham Gateman. So, yeah, there are some really, really great catcher names.
Okay, so we're closing in on 15 minutes here.
All right, so we got
to
start.
Not to put too much of a rush on.
All right, so you know what? Why don't I take my catcher, and I'm going to go to Brewster from State College of Florida, Manatee, Sarasota,
which is a great name in and of itself.
Yeah, absolutely, just because he's a catcher, Joshua Crouch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. That's great.
I mean,
who's meant to be?
His name, you know, the job description and the name, one and the same.
I don't think he was ever allowed to wear knee savers then.
No, probably not. So.
Came out of the womb in the crouching position. He was ready to go. One name I did like from catcher was Pat Winkle. He's a Harwich catcher from UConn. And what immediately stuck out to that is when you see these names again, you see the first initial, last name, P. Winkle. I thought that was just kind of humorous to me. Okay, so...
Also from Oregon State, Troy Clouch.
I had that and crossed him out for P. Winkle. Yeah, that's it. I had him written down. Clouch kind of has a good sound to it.
Just a good catcher name.
It sounds like onomatopoeia or something. Like, the clouch is like the sound that would make.
Yes.
You know, I don't know.
There you go. All right, so it's your turn, I believe?
Okay, yeah. So I'm going with shortstop. Complete my middle infield here alongside Kyler Fedko is another Kootenai player from Duke University, Matthew Mervis. Again, alliteration, never nervous, Matthew Mervis. I think you can have a lot of fun with that sort of thing.
Sure.
And Mervis, nervous, you know.
Can he hit the curvis?
That's it. That's a good one. A little bit of a stretch, but we can work with that.
All right. You know what? I already mentioned this guy, so I'm going to put him on my team because it just is such a great ball player name. From your Falmouth Commodores, he is the player of the week. He is raking right now, your leadoff hitter. Hayden Cantrell.
Yes.
Just that
strong baseball name.
He sounds like a star.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the roster and you see Hayden Cantrell, you just think that kid is going to be awesome.
Maybe he can play a mean acoustic guitar, play a little country music jam for you.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that a lot. Okay, so I got to complete my outfield here. I am going with Wake Forest star from Wareham. Over the bridge there, beautiful Spillane Field, DJ Poteet.
Oh, I didn't have him.
Not to be confused with his sister, Little Bo Peep, but DJ Poteet. It's a little bit of a slant rhyme, but I'm going to make it work.
Okay. All right. Oh, gosh. All right, so where are we at? I need outfield, DH, and a couple of pitchers. So I've got it, you know. So I'm just going to go for the strongest name on the board. And you know what? It is now legal in Massachusetts.
Oh.
You know,
hey now.
Good for, you know, apparently good for healing. From Oklahoma State and your Chatham Anglers. How about Cade Cabanis? It looks like cannabis. It's Cabanis.
Cabanis.
Cade Cabanis.
Yes.
You like yourself the alliteration?
I love that name.
And you can definitely, you know, have some headline fun with Cabanis.
I was crossing that off my list because I did have that, but I went with Poteet instead.
All right, there we
go. That's great. But again, I saw it as cabbiness.
Oh, okay.
Now, so, you know, so that, maybe that's why I was like, I wasn't 100% sure on this one. Okay, so this one, I'm going with a pitcher here. I need a pitcher. I need someone to anchor my staff. This one hits close to my home. Spent a lot of good time down in Hempstead, New York.
Sure.
Long Island. Beautiful Long Island. He's a Purdue Boilermaker. Also on the Kituwa Cavaliers. Great first name, but even better last name, Bo Hofstra.
You know, it's, I saw that and I said, I am not allowed to pick that guy.
I would have thrown a fit.
I figured, I would have thrown you know, a fit. I knew that that was your guy. So there's no way I was going to take
him. At the top
him.
Of my staff.
So, oh, absolutely. I mean, that's strong. You know, there is a song, I don't particularly like it that much because it has been overplayed by ESPN a ton. Mm-hmm. That's that song, Legend. You know the one we're talking about? It doesn't matter. But anyways, great name, even though the last name, not very strong. But from the Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox and the Oklahoma Sooners.
Okay.
Legend Smith.
Oh, yeah. Love a good legend.
You know,
yeah.
Legend. I mean, that's legendary.
Legendary. There is a legend Fernandez, who was a pretty good running back, defensive back from the Wareham Vikings.
Legend spelt weird though. LEDGEND.
Legend. Okay. All right. Well,
I don't know why they threw the extra D in there, but yeah. But
what's Legend? Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
I could kind of see that.
You know, and what I like that his parents did there is his last name was Smith, which is one of the most common. You know, Smith Jones, one of the most common names in the United States. And they said, you know what? We're sorry about that, son. So we are going to give you the greatest first name ever.
Something that no one will forget.
Yeah, absolutely. Love Legend it. Smith.
Okay, my last... Or I got two more pitching spots here. Okay. I am going with another Yarmouth Dennis Red Sox. Of course, they are known for their pitching over the years. Chris Sale, chief among them. David Robertson comes to mind. Joe Kelly is another one. But he's a pitcher from Arizona State.
And I told you, Arizona State, man.
Boyd Vandercoy.
Yep.
And again, you got a little bit of you got a little bit of alliteration or a little bit of a rhyme there. You know, I love anything like Vandercoy, Vanderpump, that sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that kind of word.
That
so,
rules.
And Boyd, I think of Oil Can Boyd, another famous baseball name right there. Boyd
Greatest
Vandercoy.
Delivery of all time.
He's up there. You know, you got some of the Japanese pitchers who could rival that.
And Fernando.
Yes, of course.
And El Tiante. All right, so outfield, I have DiGiacomo and Cabanis. So I need somebody else. And I just like the way this name sounds. Again, we have talked about so many Kituwa Cavaliers. I wanted to go with Duke Ellis, but instead, because that name's just great.
Of course, yeah.
But his teammate from the University of Kentucky, Araj Anu.
Yes. Yeah, that
just
is a great name.
Great
name. Araj Anu. Anu? I guess there's not a tilde over the N, so you can kind of... Anu.
Yep.
Okay, so I need a DH now. You know, I'm going over my list. There's a couple names that I saw here.
You can take anybody for DH.
I know. So this is... I'm going to take my backup third baseman, which is... I'm not sure if I've taken a third baseman yet, actually. So this is my starting third baseman.
Okay.
Tyler Hardman from Oklahoma. He's a hard man. He plays on the Brewster Whitecaps.
There you go.
That's going to be my starting third base. I've still got a DH spot open.
All right. So I have a DH and a pitcher left to go. So I am going to go to the pitcher. Why not? All right. So you took Vandercoy, but I am not going to let you take. And I'm going to have to really get through this one. From Bourne.
Okay, love
it. In Gonzaga.
Okay.
A little hyphen action for you.
Mm.
How about Nick Trogerlik Iverson?
Wow.
I mean, that is a mouthful.
That is a hyphenated name there.
And, you know, I feel bad for the announcers who have to say that. You know, Trogerlik, T-R-O-G-R-L-I-C.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Trogerlik. Trogerlik. And then dash Iverson, like Allen Iverson.
Like Allen Iverson, yes.
So, it is a mouthful. It's hard to say, but he has to be.
NGI? Is that his initials? Maybe that's... Yeah, we've got NGI coming
NTI.
Up. NTI.
NTI. NTI.
Yeah,
so,
NTI, yeah.
But, yeah, just it is a mouthful to say, but you got the hyphen working for you. You got the weird spelling. He's got to be on the all-name team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now I'm going with the person that I originally had in my DH spot, and I'm going to give this the old college try here, so bear with me. He's a center fielder for the Wareham Gatemen. He currently plays in college at San Diego State University. It was Taranosuke Atsuka.
That's awesome.
Taranosuke Atsuka. I think I'm putting the right emphasis on the right syllables there. Yeah. Who can be sure?
That is fantastic. There are so many great. I love the Cape League.
So I think we got one pick left.
Yeah, and you know what? This guy, it would be just awful if this guy did not make the all-name team with this name. He is from the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets and the Falmouth Commodores.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Radcliffe.
Baron Radcliffe. Yeah, Baron's a very strong name. The Red Barons, of course.
Yeah.
That comes to mind.
He is my DH.
Okay, so, you know, Mr. Irrelevant here in the final pick of the all
Oh, how dare you. Names.
Well, you know, even Isaiah Thomas was Mr. Irrelevant.
He's very relevant because there's a lot of great names on the board still.
Absolutely. So, you know, I was thinking about Griff McGarry,
mm-hmm.
who's a pitcher for Hyannis and goes to the Hoos, you know, Virginia Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
But I have Tyler Hardman, who could be a little intimidating. So I want something to balance him out, you know. So I'm going with Dawson Merriman, who is a Chatham angler who plays at Midland College. So I got the Hardman and the Merriman.
Sure.
And together, you know, that's
they're
a
hard
happy
and Merry.
Yeah, they're a happy medium.
A great
right
happy
there.
Medium.
So we got about 5 minutes left here. Give me Rich McClone's all Cape League name team.
All right. The designated hitter is Baron Radcliffe.
Mm-hmm.
The outfield would be Giovanni DiGiacomo, Cade Cabanis, and Oren Anu. Catcher, Josh Crouch. Shortstop, Alika Williams. Third base, Eric Fago. Second base, Hayden Cantrell. First base, Joey Loperfido. And the pitching staff, Nick Trogerlik Iverson, Legend Smith, and of course, number one overall, Owen Schartz.
Owen Schartz, yeah, that is a great name. I'm not going to shake that name. That's one going to stay with me forever. Okay, on Team Wesley Sikes here, starting behind the plate, we got Dallas Beaver going around the horn at first base. We got Nick Bruiser at second, Kyler Fedko at third base. We got Tyler Hardman. Shortstop, we got Never Nervous, Matthew Mervis. Third base, I already said that. Okay, going to the outfield now. We have Aubrey Major, DJ Poteet, Vincenzo Bologna, my designated hitter, Taranosuke Atsuka. Now anchoring my pitching staff is Bo Hostra. And coming out of the bullpen will be Boyd Vanderkooy and Dawson Merriman.
All right, so names that did not make the all-name team.
Yeah.
Mason Hazelwood from Chatham.
The great name.
Chandler Joswiak and Brewster. Nick Zwack. How did we not pick Nick Zwack?
Nick Zwack is pretty good.
Colby Kubicek.
If his name was Zach, that would have been really
Zwack.
High up there. Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been fantastic. Brandon Dufault.
Mm-hmm.
We did have him. Zach Brizik from Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
We got most of the... Caden Polkovich from Chatham. He is a third baseman. We mentioned all the catchers. Tim Tawa from Stanford.
Yeah, I had that name on there.
Duke Ellis did not get picked. Judd Fabian from Florida and
mm-hmm.
Bourne. Bradley Beasley, little alliteration.
Yeah.
Zach Kokoska
from
Kansas State and Orleans. Arenas Azuna from Chatham. And you mentioned Spencer Torkelson. You know, he was an all-star.
Yeah.
He was an all-names all-star last year, so we went in another direction. But those are some of the names that I had that we didn't get picked.
Yeah, so you touched on a few of them that I had. The Pat Winkle, which I mentioned before. I had Anthony Servideo, which I thought was kind of a Servideo. I thought
sure.
that was kind of nice from Falmouth there. We have the aforementioned Griff McGrary. Nolan Crisp. Of course, Coco Crisp. Not as good as Coco Crisp's name, but, you know, if you're Crisp,
what
you're
was
smooth.
His first name again?
Nolan.
So maybe they call him No-No Crisp.
Oh, see, I could do with that. Okay. And then the last one on my list is Lane Flam. Which I just thought was...
That's a good one.
Kind of comes up well.
That was fun.
It was a good time here. So hopefully we get to do this another year this time. What do you say?
Why not? We got to do it.
Okay. Well, till then.
Peace.